Look at this picture of Paul that is his avatar on Zoom.
Oh, wow. That is
Pretty amazing.
yeah.
He is mouth to mouth with a large fish, and his hair looks like a helmet. He looks like a soccer dad.
It
Does.
He's also on mute, so it's
not like a
that is
live
old. That's,
fish.
I think, because I signed up to Zoom with my Google, so it inherited my Google, my Gmail avatar.
Yeah, from that time as when you were a suburban dad in rural
Right.
Minnesota. There he is.
There he is.
There's a picture of
Hey.
that beautiful mug.
Well,
Well,
hi,
hi,
friends.
everybody.
Hi.
Hello.
Missed y'all. Hope listeners have as well. It's been a couple weeks.
So, Matt,
Well,
have you got
my
exciting news for us? Did you have like some big event happen in
So
your
what
life?
the actual F? Yeah, so we did one of those things where my wife is very pregnant. So
Hey.
we decided to move, which is the best time because
That's
she
the
can't.
best time to do it. Yeah,
She
that's good.
actually has a fun thing I learned about. She has like pregnancy onset carpal tunnel syndrome,
Ooh, that's not fun.
which is basically like her body's producing so much blood to support this invasive species that is our offspring that she can't freaking type or
The
hold
greatest
things very well.
description.
And it is so she was kind of tapped out, but we moved, but we were also selling a house, which means we had to clear it out to a degree that's just like chaotic. And we were doing all that. I just was just getting in the state of like feeling like I have my stuff together. And for some reason, this Paul guy keeps texting me, like very excited about the move, which I thought was very thoughtful, but it seemed more intentional than that. And then a freaking Amazon truck shows up, and a guy asks me, where do you want it? I'm like, you're gonna have to be more specific about what it is. So I don't know of an it coming. And he's like, the grill. I'm like, come again? So I think this is where you fill in some blanks, Paul.
Yeah. So, we knew you had a lot of stuff going on, and I thought it'd be sweet. I know that you've been grilling a lot and barbecuing a lot, and you attempted and failed at smoking a brisket. And I was like,
No, that's so true. Well documented and no
Ouch.
shame. Part of the game.
Maybe like we can find a reason to help you out with that. So I looked around and I found this amazing deal on Amazon for a Camp Chef pellet grill smoker. And so I bashed some heads and said, hey, everyone, give me some money. And
That's exactly how it
everyone
happened.
gave me
Yeah,
money. Even JJ gave me money, which, if you know JJ, that's a big deal.
You all are so lovely.
And so I made it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I was truly, I mean, blown away. And it's just this beautiful smoker that I was a little overwhelmed with getting moved into, so I couldn't quite play with it yet because I literally didn't know where my barbecue stuff was in the boxes. But it's gorgeous. And now the question is, what does one use to fuel such a beautiful device?
Ah, see, that's the question. And that is pellets, right? And you can buy them from pretty much anywhere. But what you want to do when you're buying your pellets is you want to look at the ingredients list, which seems like a weird thing to say.
Very.
But some manufacturers that might be famous manufacturers that, start with T and rhyme with Rager, they flavor their pellets with like essential oils to make it like hickory flavored instead of hickory.
Oh
That's to
no.
keep the ho COVID out, right? To keep COVID away.
Right.
It's
Yeah,
essential
isn't
oils. Hope you pack it in very
so you want to
nice.
avoid the ivermectin flavored pellets.
Isn't an essential oil basically an antioxidant or something like that? I don't know. I was
Something
reading
like
on
that.
Goop the other day
Yeah.
about
Well,
where to
I
put
mean,
these.
Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers used it to
I
get
was
rid of
about to make the
COVID. So,
same reference to Aaron Rodgers. Very nice. Just like,
well,
start that, breathe in the smoke, you're protected against COVID, right? That's how it works.
Good okay. Lord. Well, that's really good to know. Yeah, I've been scheming on pellet smokers for a while now, as you know, because you've coached me through it all, Paul. But listeners might not realize, like, I've done so much research looking into this, and I never got to the point of, like, which pellets do you want? Because I was too busy analyzing which pellet smoker I wanted.
Are you having analysis paralysis right now?
I'm not. I'm
not
definitely
that bad. Okay.
I'm in the That's mindset good. Right now that there's so much to do that doing literally anything is the right move. Mm-hmm. And nice. And that's actually a really healthy place for me. But I do want to smoke something soon. I was just about to go pick up some pellets at like the hardwood store down the street.
That might be a good place to pick up some pellets at a hardwood store, right?
That would be good if that existed. I was just fumbling through the word. Cool. Just as long as we're both agreed that you're making fun of me. Okay, we're going to have to talk about this in a moment because I think Laura's camera is just exponentially better and it's actually difficult to make
really,
eye contact
really
with her right now. And then there's a blurry, slightly creepy rubber ducky in the background just watching
slightly
everything we're
creepy.
Doing.
Do you know, like, how many rubber ducks there are in my office at any one time?
What's the ratio of rubber ducks to discs?
Oh, good question.
Oh, it's almost 1-to-1.
Holy horseshit, that's a lot of ducks.
That is.
Okay, so long story short, I'm excited to smoke something. I'll keep you all posted. Thank you so much. It was one of the sweetest things I've ever received. Like, that was just a wonderful way to start this house off, and I can't wait to make you all proud by not fucking up another brisket.
I feel like there might be a turkey coming up real soon on your future.
Yes. Oh, I didn't even think about how I'm hosting.
Paul had this all planned out, clearly. God.
Well, hold on. I just got to make sure I agree to throw this in once. You can 72 hour.
Jesus Christ, he's not going to sue me to fucking turkey for 72 hours.
That's like a 72 day one. It's such a huge chunk of meat.
I'm going to reach through my Googles and stab you.
Just one last pitch, JJ. I appreciate your energy.
The amazing thing, I knew immediately as he started talking exactly what he was going to say, and he did not disappoint.
Honestly, if anyone sponsors us first, it really should be a sous vide company, JJ.
Exactly.
Like,
it really should.
You're just such a strong advocate. All right, but switching gears, Laura, what happened to your camera? Why is it
What's going on? So I'm really happy everybody likes it. So I was speaking at Aldi DevOps last week. I've lost track of time. I think it was last week. Anyway, I was set to speak at it, and about 30 minutes before my green room time started, my camera wouldn't turn on. And my little GoPro that I've been using for ages now, it's a GoPro Hero 8. And I took it off the mount and I was taking a look at it, and I realized the battery had swelled up and you couldn't get the battery out. It was not a happy thing. So I still need to RMA it. Basically, I think what's going on is because it's plugged in as a webcam, like, you can't do that very well. I don't know. It's it overheated is the short term.
Yeah.
Thing. So like,
it's supposed to be like on a car or like in like a, like a parachute with a GoPro or something.
Wait, why, JJ, are you making the same hand movements for driving a car as driving a parachute?
That's a good point.
Maybe they should be waving in the air. Yeah.
I forgot we got the hand crank cars. Like, that's a really nice feature these days.
In this visual medium that is a podcast, everybody can see this.
Your shoulder strength is showing. It's looking great.
It's amazing.
So, Laura, you picked this up. Like,
well, so what happened is, no, I ended up doing ADDO just with my MacBook camera, and I was like, I can't do this again. So I ran, not ran literally, but knowing me, I could have run there, but no, I drove there over the weekend, and I drove over to our local photography store. They're great, Precision Camera. If you are in Austin and looking for something, I have to give a huge shout out. Yep. West Anderson, really nice salesperson. on the floor. I was like, hey, listen, so I know nothing except physics. I can talk about physics things. I don't know anything about cameras. And I had done a shout out to Jason Yee on Twitter, and Jason had recommended like a couple things, including a Sony A or Sony Alpha 6000 series, anything in that 6000 range. So I showed up there and I pretty much said to the salesperson, like, hey, listen, this is about how far I have. Here's the kinds of videos I do. What do you got that I could try? And is there anything in the used case? So after a little bit of trial and error, we found an A6300. So it's a Sony A6300 with a 30 millimeter lens. So it's really tight distance and a focal distance of 1.4. So has some really nice stuff. And then he's like, and there's this light bar thing. And I'm like, oh, that looks nice. So it's actually really nice. I'm really enjoying the quality that I'm getting out of this. So, and it's getting that lovely blurred effect, which is why the ducky is so creepy in the background. You also can't tell that the box down below is the This Is Fine Dog bobblehead. Oh. So yeah, fanciness. I know.
What does that 1.4 mean? I don't know what that means.
Okay, so this is the problem, is that they use a symbol that is used in physics when you talk about optics and light, that is focal distance.
Mass
but it's
equals
not
force
that.
Times acceleration.
No, okay.
Negative b plus or minus the square root of 4ac. I actually don't even remember what that is.
There's a square root in there somewhere.
Y'all are keep going, Laura. Sorry.
So sad.
We'll back away from our high school, yeah. You know, knowledge dropping.
There's a niner somewhere in here.
No. So I think it's called the focal length. It's the f-stop. That's what it is. That's what it is in photography. I don't know how this relates to my actual physics. Like I said, I showed up to the guy and I said, hey, this is what I know. This is what I don't know. I think it is the same focal length. No, that's the millimeter part. The millimeter part, so focal length has to do with the distance between the lenses and how it, at what point distance wise it actually can come into focus. So that's like a focal length. So if you've ever talked about like light and things, if you've ever seen, okay, never mind. I'll make a diagram at some point and explain this to people in physics terms.
Actually, it was really neat when you moved your finger in this visual medium from like when I saw your finger move and it changed the different, like the different focal of it, but it didn't change your focal. That's kind of where right. I was like, oh, that's
the, oh that, yeah, that's how that
that's
works.
The, that's the value. I get it now.
Okay. But an Laura, f-stop.
You look both sad by this description and just for us Luddites of the physics variety, that was actually quite helpful. So we can dig more eventually.
we'll dig in eventually. But for people who know what this means, I have an f-stop of 1.4. I don't really know what it means other than I can get the lovely blurring bokeh effect behind me. So that's the only thing I actually know, but yeah, so it's been great. I've done some YouTube videos that I had to get recorded and stuff like that. That seems to work out really well. So I'm happy everybody likes it. And it's better lighting too. Like I don't have like the weird lights everywhere. I have this big, you can't see this like big light bar
thing. Cool.
It can do multicolor. Hold on. So, fancy green. There's green. Can do all kinds of stuff. And I can.
I just feel like apparently can.
Oh, there's the disco mode. There's the disco mode. There we go.
Yeah. So the audio version of what people are saying.
I know. I'm highly entertained.
So you'll put in our show notes the exact equipment you got, right?
Yeah, I can put in the show notes. Yeah, it's. I'm really impressed and
nice.
You know, he asked me what my budget was. I told him and found a bunch of stuff in the used bin and really great experience. So big shout out to, cool.
So you actually got it all as pre-owned.
Yeah. Except for the light tube. Cause that was
right.
Fairly inexpensive, but yeah, the camera, the lens, the whole thing, it was great. And I'm really impressed. They did a wonderful job helping me out. So,
and it's natively talking to the computer over HDMI or USB.
No. So I have, it can do the native thing, but I didn't decide to install Sony's stuff.
Right.
There's a Elgato Camlink knockoff that Jason Yee recommended to me a while ago that was like $10 on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
It works actually really well. So yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So I got a Canon EOS 5 or whatever it was, right as the panty was kicking in. Mm-hmm. And if you use one of those, it leaves like the bars and the battery icons and stuff on there. And there's no good way to remove it. They then brought out like a webcam thing that lets you use the USB, but it's shit.
Yeah. So before this, what I was trying to set up in the 30 minutes of panic before I had to be on for ADDO, we have a Canon T3i, mm-hmm. Rebel T3i, that we tried setting up to get right, and you can use it with the Cam Link, and there is a way to start getting everything off of it, except for that little white focus box that focuses on your face. Mm-hmm. You can't get rid of that. So that was the only thing. And I finally was like, you know what? People are going to get just the MacBook version of me. That's it. My audio is good. That's what matters. So they're looking at slides half the time anyway. So whatever. So anyway,
yeah,
you know, but yeah, I'm really liking the camera. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I'm probably going to take it around with us on the holidays to go like try taking pictures. I probably will go back to precision photography and see what other lenses I can get in their use section.
Excited for you.
There's the slippery slope.
Yeah, I know.
Just slipped right down that one.
Next thing, you'll be ordering weird Russian lenses and adapters. And
I heard like the Japanese ones are the ones to go for. So
there we go.
We'll see. Well, so one of my coworkers, Kat, is very much into photography equipment. So like, I know when Kat comes back and sees the camera, she's going to be like, hey, you need to get this and this and this and this and this and this. And on we go. So it'll be fun.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, congratulations.
Anyway.
That's very fun.
Thank you. Lots of all cool, fun things. I did hear, though, that Paul, you finally dealt with the kayak situation.
Yes.
Can you tell us what happened finally?
All right. So I can't remember what all we've talked about, but basically, really long story short, I bought a kayak and it's a very expensive kayak. It was like $2,800 plus shipping. And it was a long way, getting shipped from a long way. So it was basically $3,300. And it showed up and it was very damaged. Looks to me like it's factory damaged, but they claim it was damaged in shipping. And so then they proceeded to spend effectively 3 months now waffling around, pretending that they're trying to resolve things, but not really trying to resolve things. So they eventually actually put in a thing with the shipping company, which I can see because I have the shipping numbers to try and claim it. And they actually denied it because there was no documentation provided. And I'm like, did you not give them all the photos I sent you? What the hell? But they also stopped responding to me. And so I, at the end of the 2 months, so this is exactly a month ago, I said, screw you guys. And I kicked off a transaction dispute with my credit card company. And on Monday, that finalized and I got all of my money back.
All right.
I also still have this kayak. And now I'm trying to decide.
Viking funeral.
Do I throw it out? Do I fix it? What am I going to do? Because seriously, I could fix it for $15.
Really?
Literally. But, and here's the thing.
And like, you offered that. I wanted that.
But I offered a major discount because even like me fixing it, it still has like a lot of visual defects. If not, like it's still, even if it's like seaworthy, it's still visually fucked, right? Yeah. And so it's a second at best. And so I'm not paying brand new prices. So I said, either you replace it, you refund it and take it away, or you give me half off, and I accept it exactly as it is in is as is condition, and it's now my problem. I think that was fair. And they were like, well, you can't do that until we've exhausted the shipping damage possibilities, because they may want to inspect it. And I'm like, well, if all the fucking photos of the damage, what are they going to need to visually inspect? So, yeah. So my thinking is, so looking at the visa terms and conditions, there is nothing in there that says I have to return it. Thinking is I'm going to fix it. I'm going to use it. And if they ever figure out that they just got forced to refund me, because I don't know that they even know that they were forced to refund me until they look at their like bank balance next, right? They'll have to call me, and then like the ball's in my court to like do the right thing by them versus them doing the right thing by me. And well, I'll give them the same level of customer support that they gave me.
There you go.
Didn't you always provide support with a smile?
Didn't you chop this chaos? That's the other kayak. Oh, it's the other kayak. So you have like four kayaks now?
I had two kayaks at the same time.
Yeah, I lost track. It's a whole thing. Okay.
But the other kayak
considered a different sport.
I have considered a different sport. Like the other kayak got fixed and replaced. It just took longer because of shipping difficulties.
Supply chain. Yeah, the same reason we missed last week's episode, just a supply chain issue.
Supply chain, yeah.
Yeah.
Economy.
Yeah.
It's the economy.
Yep. Economy. Yeah. Inflation.
My kayak was getting built at SolarWinds and it got hacked by the Russians.
There you go.
Oh.
I think you could do better.
That's a callback.
Oh, well, that's exciting.
So other exciting things. I'm going to keep on going.
Yeah, keep going. Let's go.
So a while back, I had a shot at doing this new segment called Naming Things.
Yes, let's
and
do
so
it.
So I wanted to bring that back. And it's actually called Naming Things too, because naming things is hard. And so here we go. Here is the name. And it is, and I'll spell it after I say it because it sounds rude. Cockrock. C-O-Q-R-O-Q.
And we're supposed to guess like category what of what it is, or so I have some. I know that cock, COQ, pretty sure that's the spelling of it, is a programming language for autonomous vehicles, because when my friend told me he was programming in cock, I didn't want to believe him. And I'm like, you are a grown child. And then I look at this, and it's basically, it's like, if Haskell is too straightforward for you,
what?
Then
oh dear,
you're writing like pure mathematical proofs, and its syntax is truly wild. I didn't dig too deeply into it; just looks like nothing I've ever seen. But he wrote the logic of a car, like of a autonomous vehicle, in that, and it's got this validation engine to it that's kind of the foundation of why it's that. So I feel like Rock is a library in the cock programming language, QED.
Wow.
Other guesses?
I was going to go a completely different direction, with no pun intended. Hey.
I get it.
That was one of your best.
Thank you. I was going to say something to do with croquet, because of cock or croquet, maybe.
Okay.
And then like maybe a rock that you're supposed to play with croquet. I don't know. That's the first thing that came to my head. And that was obviously not right.
Well, I'm so glad we saved this for when JJ's here.
I was going to say that was the second thing that came to mind for me. The first thing that came to mind for me is food. And it's the I can't pronounce French, but it's that like okay, I'm gonna do it. And don't yell at me. Coquet monsieur sandwich. I like it's so bad. I know. but it's the sandwich. So I'm guessing it's like some like, you know, American French fusion awfulness that someone decided to, you know, come up with for their menu that is like that plus something that the Rock would eat. So that's right. what I'm That's where I'm going.
Croque Monsieur, which is like a cheesy, hammy, toasted sandwich.
Yeah, that thing.
And then there's the Croque Madame, which then has an egg on it.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, right.
It's not that.
Oh, okay. So I was wrong. All right.
But it is actually related, because another French word or French dish is coq au vin, which is chicken cooked in wine.
Yes.
And that is COQ. But Cock Rock is a fake band created by Burger King in the 80s to sell chicken fries.
Yes. not just a band, not just made by Burger King, but to sell the worst food on the menu.
And so they
that stuff's good.
They had ads.
Sorry they hurt
on
you.
On TV. That got through the FCC in the 80s of a band named Cock Rock. But wait, did I say 80s?
Yes.
2005. I don't know why I said
that's 80s. That's not the
80s. How did you go 80s from that, dude?
That's not the
80s.
I don't know how I got to 80s.
I think thought 20 years ago, and then there's the uncomfortable truth that.
Oh, I know why I thought 80s. I thought 80s because this might be when the real band might have been popular, or I'm really stupid. The band Slipknot sued them because they claimed that the fake band Cock Rock was too similar to Slipknot.
Wait,
they have creepy masks and everything?
Yeah. And Slipknot was also in the 2000s. That was not the 80s.
Yeah, I don't know where I got 80s from there.
No, it's fine. You're good. You're amongst friends. But what I don't understand is, were they also creepy punk hardcore?
I mean, bunch of chickens. I wouldn't trust them.
maybe if somehow, like in some language,
I can throw it.
Slipknot translates to this.
No.
Oh.
No?
No?
No, Slipknot.
Like, that's the only way I can see that happening.
Who wants to bring this up and share the screen and play some music?
Nope. Not going to do it.
No URL is clickable from you.
Do
at
it,
this
Paul.
Moment.
Do it.
All right. I'm going to do it. All right, here
Paul
it is.
Sharing a screen. Cock Rock.
Wow. That's
I get
really
it now. It took a minute.
We can't hear your sound though. So
I mean, I guess
that's pretty Slipknot-y.
That's pretty Slipknot-y.
Yeah, that's pretty.
But people can't hear the sound.
Oh, I didn't share my sound.
No, you need to share the sound. Otherwise, like people on this visual medium,
all right,
will not get a full experience.
Us all to take a minute and realize how much work we put into this.
So wait, am I supposed to describe what I'm seeing?
I mean, that's pretty much Slipknot.
Yeah, okay, it's pretty much Slipknot.
Yeah, so basically for people who can't see this in this visual medium, it's a bunch of guys without shirts on, but with rooster masks and heads on, doing some kind of like rock band thing. It's more special when you actually see it. So go to the show notes and click the link. We promise it's not us rickrolling you.
So yeah, Cock Rock.
Well, number one, I just want to say I like this segment. I think it should come back. I want naming things 2.2. Or naming things 2.next, whenever you're ready.
Nice.
Somver.
Maybe we'll see if someone else wants to take a shot at one.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we will. But you're so far so good on you. So don't pass the mic until we're ready here. Well, I feel like I want to leave us plenty of time to talk about food. It's just been a minute. I want to hear if there's been any good recipes under creation, or what you're all thinking as we're rolling into late fall, early winter.
Ooh, even I actually have
go ahead,
something.
JJ.
Yes. So it's been a
is it sous vide?
No, it's not.
Good.
Okay. So it's been a while since I've actually baked bread. I know that in our conversations it seems like I bake a lot of bread, but it turns out it's been a little while because I just kind of took a break because of life. So I discovered that this is a hobby that you should keep up with, because the first loaf that I made one night was shitty, I think is the best word for it.
That's the technical term for it. Yep.
Yeah. It didn't rise at all. Right. I did my normal process that I always do. It didn't rise at all. It was just flat and just like a disc. And it was the wrong color. Like, it just didn't work. So I was like, this is good.
I was just going to ask, what leavening agent did you use?
Just yeast. I mean, yeah, I do the four ingredient, water, yeast, salt, and flour. And I do the overnight thing like I always do.
And he scrapes the yeast out of his beard.
I do.
I was assuming armpit, but yeah, beard's a nice one.
I mean, it's more natural because it turns over. Anyway,
It's free range organic. Yeah,
exactly. But no, in all seriousness, it was really bad. Like, it was really, really, like, it didn't seem to work. And so I was like, this is embarrassing. What's going on here? So even my wife was like, JJ, this even doesn't taste very good. Like, this, what did you do wrong? I have no idea.
So you have no clue what happened.
No clue.
I know what you did.
Okay, what? Paul.
Yes. Yes, Paul.
You either forgot to add salt or you didn't add enough.
Same 22 grams of salt every single time. And and then, oddly enough, I did it the next night. It came out perfect to the point where, like, I even had the ear come up how I wanted it. I've always wanted to for the when you score it and when it rises and
the little flaps freeze.
Little flip flap. Like, that even happens. Yeah. It was great.
Brett has ears. It hears you. It hears you coming at night.
I went from the extreme of like the worst bread I've ever made to like the best in a span of 48 hours.
All right. Crazy. Are you using the instant rise, not instant rise, but like the yeast packs you get at the grocery store?
I got like 4 pounds of instant yeast from Mexico. It's like one big thing.
It's the big block.
Yes.
Is it fresh yeast?
No, it's not fresh yeast. It's not. It's dried. It's dried. It was just in a big block like you would see in the little jar.
You can buy them in like basically bricks that you then open. I've seen this. So,
But it's still granulated.
Yes. It's just like the little jar one. It's just compressed into a brick.
Okay.
How old is it?
Not even a month.
Okay.
Well, because I was thinking that you had the little packets. Well, I was thinking you had the little packets. And so if you have the packets, sometimes like some of them end up with like pinholes in them if you leave them in your fridge too long. And so like the air gets in and it doesn't work as well.
That's reasonable.
But I use the little packet ones because I am still functioning in like college years where I didn't have much space in the kitchen. So like that's about how much space I had. It went into the fridge, kept good there. So
that's super smart.
Yeah. I don't use the instant yeast much, but I usually have like the Fleischmann's in the jar and keep that in the freezer. And that lasts quite a while. But speaking of bread having ears, did you know that potatoes have nipples?
Yeah, I mean, I've had potato milk.
Right?
Almond milk.
So Waitrose announced the other day that they were.
Oh, I was joking. There's actually potato milk.
It's potato milk. Yeah, no, that's where he's going. I didn't saw even this click the other on day this. Too.
Oh, Jesus.
So anyway, okay. I just enjoyed the mental image of someone milking a potato. And I thought in this visual medium, it would be an amazing place to share that mental image.
Thank you for adding that visual image to all of us. We really appreciate that.
Have you?
Please stop making that gesture. It's just so disturbing.
I definitely remember the first time I made almond milk from actual almonds, and just you soak them all, and then like after they soak for a while, you squeeze them out of their external shell, and then just like my friend and I were going patoo patoo patoo, like shooting them out into the back into the water, like the grown ass children we've always been. And it's really satisfying. So if you're looking to giggle while producing something that you could buy for much cheaper, instead of produce yourself and it won't taste any different, I highly recommend making almond milk.
Okay.
Patoo, patoo, patoo. Well, that broke, Laura.
Welp.
Oh, Paul, you've been making so much stunning food. I don't even know where to start. Oh. yeah, anything you want to recap for? Actually, I do have a request. When you say you fast cook some ribs, I think that's an art that's worth visiting. Like, what does that mean? Because you made some beautiful ones.
Yeah, so that just means I did them on the big green egg. So usually I would do them on the offset. And I didn't really care about the temperature. I just kind of got it hot and then like closed it down kind of, I don't know, 3/4, the bottom thing, and then just open up the little things on the top. So it was probably running at 275, 300, but I didn't put the deflection plate on. So it was getting a lot of the direct heat from the coals. And it was like less than 3 hours, and they were perfect. And so really? I cooked them.
There you go.
Bone side down for most of the cook, because that's, you know, going to protect, like take most of the harshness of the temperature. And then probably 2 hours in, I flipped them for about half an hour, and then I flipped them back, and then I just added a glaze that was just a little bit of ketchup, some peach and habanero jam, and some pickle juice. And what am I missing? That might have been it. Oh, and some maple syrup. And I just kind of brushed that on top a couple of times to set a glaze. And they're delicious.
That sounds wonderful. So yeah. Texture-wise, like we were talking about JJ's fall off the bone ones that his family loves. Is this more like spare rib style ribs where it's got like a bit of a tug to it?
So you still pull the meat cleanly off the bones, but yeah, it's got some tug to it. So you sort of, you feel it as you bite, but as you sort of rip away, it fully comes off the bone. So, you know, one of the things with like baby backs is people are like, it's ready when you can pull a bone out. Like, right. I wouldn't be able to pull a bone out. It would tear at the meat and stuff. So it's not that done. But probably the way JJ was doing it, you probably couldn't do that either. Like, that's super done if you can just pull the bone straight out.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that tracks. Very interesting. That sounds delicious, man. I definitely want to mess with that.
And it was good because I started cooking at 3 in the afternoon and I was having it for dinner. No problem.
Just flashing
only
back.
Only Broberg had a smoker.
Yeah.
If only
I had some pellets.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm on my way. I'm so into that. Yes. Well, nice. Paul, anything else? Any other favorites in the last couple of weeks?
So I got some good quality chickens in a load of stuff from Crowd Cow. Weird buying chickens from Crowd Cow, but I did. And so I was going to make yakitori, but I got lazy halfway through. So I ended up doing about half the chicken worth of yakitori. So I did like the thigh and leg and sort of made is it nigima when you do like thigh, green onion. I did the chicken breast. I did the chicken skin. Oh my God, chicken skin yakitori is so good. And then I did the tail and the oysters as one. I'm trying to think. And then like the belly meat and a few other things sort of made one up. But then the other thigh and the other breast, I beat up with a hammer, and then I fried and did my like Szechuan hot chicken, which is so good. So I do like Szechuan peppercorns. I do a bunch of different dried chilies. I had a bunch of the Korean chili powder because it's like super red. I added some MSG, some garlic powder, some other stuff, ground it all up into a finish powder. And then when I was done frying the chicken, I heated up some tallow until it was like just under 350. I turned the heat off and I dumped the spice mix in. So half of that spice mix went into the dredge. And then half went in, and then the other half went into the oil. And so that's like the Nashville hot chicken way of getting like the super spicy oil. And then you basically dunk the chicken in that. Or in this case, I kind of brushed it over because I didn't make a ton of it because it was only 2 pieces. And it was phenomenal on a sandwich.
Damn.
And the thigh was actually the full like thigh and leg in one piece that I deboned and flattened out. So it was huge. And so it like really overhung the burger bun I was using. And that's always like, if I have a fried chicken sandwich, I want the fried chicken to be way bigger than the bun that it's in.
That's super fun. Yum. I am, yeah, very hungry all of a sudden, per usual on this show.
Oh, and then I did a chicken stock with the bones because, you know, you have the bones. And so that'll turn into ramen at some point.
Bone broth.
In fact, I might do that tonight with the leftover last of the ribs.
That's so sweet. What, the rib meat. What is your ratio for bone broth for stock?
I don't know. I throw bones into a pot and I've put a little bit more water in to cover them. And maybe I'll throw in some green onions, some ginger. And then I get it to a boil, skim the scum, and just let it sort of sit there. I don't really pay attention to amounts or quantities or anything.
Yeah, me neither. I wasn't reading like a 50-page book on ramen strategies for stock last night. Not at all. Nope.
Oh, and that's different if you're trying to like make a very specific kind of ramen broth. That's a very different thing. I was just trying to make a chicken stock that's sort of multi-purpose.
Yeah, that sounds brilliant. Yeah. Yum.
But you know, the one thing I do is I make sure I scrub of any like blood vessels or in the back of the cavity where the backbone is, there's often like kidneys and stuff still stuck to it. And so you want to make sure you get those cleaned out before you do it. Otherwise, they can give some interesting tastes and like coloration to it that you don't really want in like a super clean broth. Anyways, I've talked too much and it's Laura's turn to talk next.
Oh, wait, it's mine? Okay. I was going to say, well, you know,
that went for worst transition today.
I just want to eat everything that Paul is currently making just because I'm just like, oh, this all sounds amazing. Whereas I'm like, okay, I'm going to work on meal prepping. Yay. I've been exploring. I have a new cookbook for a runner's cookbook, meal prepping, runner's endurance cookbook thing. I know. But the food's really actually pretty good. So I made a butternut squash and pork layered enchiladas. And oh boy, was it good. So it was, you took butternut squash, cubed it up, and you roast that till it's roasted, till it's got that nice, you know. Sorry, I'm a little distracted by the dog like sprinting around behind JJ.
Happens all day.
I know, it's hilarious to just watch like this dark shape. Woo! Anyway, so roast up the butternut squash and then mix together in a bowl. You've got, we pre-make a ton of pork and chicken all the time with like, we use fajita seasoning on it and stuff like that, and marinate it. So I had a bunch of pork from that, black beans, tomato sauce, red and green peppers. What else is in there? Cheddar cheese and just a bunch of spices and onion powder, stuff like that. So you mix all that together, and then when the butternut squash is done roasting, you put that in with everything else, mix it all up, and then you put a layer of that, or sorry, like take like an 11 by 7 or a 19 or 9 by 13 baking dish, put down whole wheat tortillas, then layer some of the enchilada mix, then more of the whole wheat tortillas, then enchilada mix, etc., like layer it all the way up. And then top it all in cheese and roast it. And it's amazing. Nice. I could eat this all week. So,
heck yeah.
Delicious.
So the butternut squash, did you say you cube it up, or is it like slices and you kind of use them like lasagna sheets?
No, so you actually cube it up. Okay. I actually buy it pre-cubed because I'm lazy. But I could easily like cut it up and do it. It's just, you know, on a weeknight, when I've been working till 6 or 7, it's like time to real quick get it in and cook it, get it all cooked. So, but yeah, we'll cube that up. And the reason is that like you put it about the same size as the beans and the chicken and everything so that it's like uniform size, but oh boy, is it good all mixed together. It's delicious.
Sounds good.
That's been the big one. Like I also tried an egg casserole thing that one flopped completely. Like we ate a slice of that, looked at each other, and like, we still have some pizza in the freezer. so sometimes you just have those moments where it's just not going to work.
Have you had? Have you ever made moussaka?
What's that?
Zimtai.
So no.
It's a Greek dish, and it's kind of lasagna-ish, except instead of like pasta sheets, it uses thinly sliced eggplant. And like the meat mix has sort of a Greek sort of like seasoning to it. And it's really good. But it, I think that made me think of it as like a, it's like a good low carby alternative to lasagna, which suits.
I am looking for carbs. So Renner's nutrition is weird.
Right. That's why I said low carb.
No, I'll have to try it anyway. That sounds really good. I will find that. If you have a recipe, I'd love to have it. But yeah, I will have to look this up and try it. Because I actually really do like Greek food. It's very good. As long as it doesn't have nuts in it, I'm a happy camper. So, but
moussaka is one of my favorite Greek dishes. Yeah.
Is it?
It's absolutely delicious. Yeah, you should definitely mess around with it. I feel like you'd enjoy it, Laura.
I'll have to try it.
Yeah.
So what have you been eating while you've been moving?
Man, all the restaurants near my house. First off.
Wait, which house? The new one?
Yeah, I'm officially in the house Adele and I plan to live in for a long period of time, which for us means more than 2 years. No. which we're planning, you know, like this is the house we want to have a family in and be for a while. It's in Minneapolis in this really cool neighborhood down the street from the school we want our kids to go to.
Nice.
Yeah, we're definitely in that. Yay. But what's also nice, we're two blocks from a neighborhood in Minneapolis that has a ton of restaurants that are really, really good. One, it goes from Boludo, which is a Venezuelan pizza shop. And it makes these like football shaped, incredibly, incredibly decadent pizzas with like big salt granules around the perfect crust and like perfect pepperoni, a little bit sweet in the sauce. It's really nice. If you're into it. And Paul's just mocking me in chat on the side just to really complete this visual medium even further.
And I was just mouthing Paul. Period. Anyway, go ahead. I want to hear about this food. Come on.
Yeah, and my other two new favorites, found out there's a southern place nearby, and I got a like corn flour catfish, like fried catfish with collard greens and cheesy grits, and it was it rivaled what I had when I've gone to like New Orleans. I was also very hungry, so there's a confounding variable. I'll have to try it again, but it was really damn good. And then the third one is there's a Japanese place called Kayachi, and I had their, I'm just going through their ramen menu, getting inspo, because I'm very much ready for ramen season. Been cranking on the, I've got like two huge bags of chicken bones and backs and stuff from spatchcocking chickens and cooking them for the last few weeks. And going to just start boiling that up and getting those bases down. And I've got probably next weekend, I'm going to serve maybe 6 to 10 people with some ramen. So I got to got to figure out what chashu I'm going to make and just start getting back to it. It's the season.
The oil is not important. Don't worry about the oil.
So I did want to actually ask, so you're going to be serving ramen to a bunch of people. JJ was supposed to be the ramen chef last weekend.
Yes.
I think for the family. How did that go? And Paul, because I remember Paul was just like, you're doing it all wrong. You're just completely wrong. Try again. So I want to hear how that went too.
But. So obviously some inside baseball. We did actually meet last week, but we didn't record. So that's why
we're horrible people.
Yeah, that's why Broberg's so confused, because you know he wasn't here.
I had no internet and was running around like a chicken with my head cut off.
But yes, so last Friday I was actually a ramen chef for my wife and her friends. And I told Paul and Laura my plan, and in Paul's so lovely way, basically said that I was an idiot and I should never try to make ramen again.
I didn't say you're an idiot. I said, what kind of flavored oil are you using? And you said, what flavored oil? And I was like, have you not listened to any of the many of our podcasts where Matt and I have broken down how to make ramen and the three main ingredients?
And no. Proud so of what you. So what I ended up doing is, turns out my wife and her friends were like, JJ, you are, like, they were very happy with the concoction I created. It wasn't technically by true definition ramen. It didn't have all the major portions of it, but what I had done is I got a bunch of soup base from a Korean soup base. I got ramen noodles inside of it. And then I added a bunch of vegetables to it. And I basically made a massive soup is a better word for it. And
that tracks, man.
Yeah. And there's some ajitama in there too. And a little bit of seaweed and a couple other little sides with it, like corn that they wanted to add or whatever. And by definition, it wasn't ramen, but it was enough of a soup based meal that they called it. So it all came out great.
No, there if are it was a lot a, of...
If it was a Korean soup base, it was ramyun, not ramen. But otherwise, it's fine.
So much.
Honestly, there is no purest way of making ramen. You know, ramen, as we've talked about on this podcast, was a reinvention of a Chinese dish in, I think, really the 60s is where it took off in Japan. And it's about being regional. It's about having some elements, but I'd be curious if you had like a fat element in there. So either an oil or animal fat that
chicken
kind of
chicken. Yeah. It was chicken.
Yeah.
Chicken.
So that's legit ramen.
You added chicken fat.
There was actually chicken in the, not only in the soup base that I got, we added, I made the pork katsu, not katsu. What the fuck was that thing? I sous vide chashu. I sous vide for 24 hours.
Isn't
it? Yeah, nice. then I did the, I sliced it and I did the broiling on it. And
nice.
I made
look
my own.
You.
What was it called? Yeah. The inside the actual sous vide for 24 hours, I made my own garlic tare. Yeah. I made my own tare and put it in there. And they were like, JJ, this pork is phenomenal. You should make this all the time.
Dude, you made legit ramen. You should be proud. Yeah. For once in my life, I'm going to tell Paul to screw off and JJ won this round.
Yeah, I completely forgot about the pork. Yeah,
you made that's like one of the least trivial parts.
Was it? That's why I was amazed last week when he's talking about making the chashu. He's talking about making the ajitama eggs, and then he's like, "What flavored oil?" I'm like, "You've gotten the hard bits, and you're just missing this one simple bit."
Oh, Paul, yeah, that's how I roll, though. I always do the hard stuff really well, but when you ask me to like fold the laundry, I'm like, "What the fuck is this?" I don't get it.
But I also didn't realize you were kind of starting with a pre-made soup base, and so that probably has a lot of the flavorings you would get from adding a flavored oil.
Exactly.
And then you said you made a tare, so you used the drippings from the pork.
Yes.
And you added
so
stuff
like the
to
drippings
that?
Of the pork and like soy sauce, I'm assuming, and like something.
So it was mirin, yeah. Soy sauce, garlic, and something else.
And the pork fat, that's a perfect base.
Yeah,
dude, you crushed it. You should be really proud of yourself.
Yes, yeah. you almost effectively made the tare and the flavored oil at the same time.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Rather than as separate things. Yeah. So. Which you ended up stumbling your way through actually doing it pretty well in that special way that JJ does.
JJ, you're like a human iceberg where like you sink the ships of us all the time thinking that we're going to brush up against that little thing and there's just so much more underneath. But you're just like, oh, I didn't really do much. And you're like, you look under, you're like, Jesus, look at all the shit you just did. You're like, hey, yeah, I did that too. No big deal. Like you are confounding and it's very enjoyable.
Yeah, you need to change your LinkedIn headline now.
Human iceberg.
There you go.
I mean, it's better than your previous human middle guy in the human centipede job. So.
Oh.
That's so I think we did like hit the, you know, explicit rating at some point here because of how many F-bombs we've dropped and then now that. So, you know, I'm highly entertained.
Well, that is exactly the kind of catch up I wanted. Some good banter, some great food. I'm sure there's other news we can go into next week, but until then, thank you all for listening.
And this was wonderful.
And something along those lines.
Feed yourself. Or
go eat some ramen.
That's what my favorite YouTube says. Feed yourself. There we go.
I like that.
Well, that's what my favorite YouTube says.
We can't steal that. Go eat some ramen.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
See y'all later.
Say hi to your mom for me.
Bye.
Bye.